How you guys doing? Good to see you. Yeah. I've been here one other time with Jason and now with Chris, but wow, it's so beautiful down here. You know, Seattle's pretty beautiful too. Isn't it? Isn't that what the news is saying these days? But wow, here driving along the Columbia, whoa, that was really, really a treat. So I brought some books. It's January, right? How many have already failed in your New Year's resolutions? Okay, yeah. You know, all those diets, they're always like advertising about diets, right? Right? Leading up to Thanksgiving and then Christmas and then, okay, New Year, you know, new you and everything. But anyway, who even does resolutions anymore? But a good thing to do is to decide, you know what? I want to have daily times with Christ every day. So I brought a devotional. It takes you through, if you read this, it has like, okay, it's kind of a, you know, it's like a notebook form, and it has, each page has two devotionals, and you can write on it and do whatever you want, but it'll take you through the entire Gospel of John this year, and that means Jesus, right? It's called He Dwelt Among Us, and it's in the back, and there's a little basket there. You can just put your, say it's 10 bucks, but if you can't afford that, just whatever you can, you know, approaching that. But if you can't afford anything, I'll just give you one afterwards. Just ask me. Okay. Okay. Let's turn to Philippians chapter 4. And I just wanted to mention that I just turned 70 a month ago. And, it's great. It's the new 40. It's, you know, it's so great. People say, well, you know, have you given up most activities? No. You know, I even play basketball with the 20-year-olds still. It's fun. I don't go inside and play. I shoot three-pointers from like 40 feet out. But they go in. Yeah. And then I taunt them on the way down, on the way back. Yeah. But, no, I mean, I just wanted to say that the Lord, as you guys were saying up here and we were singing about, He's so good. And we're going to see in our passage today one aspect of His goodness that is seriously mind-blowing. And in our lives, Kathy and I, we've been blessed with four wonderful children who made four incredible choices in spouses. Now, I will say a little caveat here. We prayed many losers away. Yeah, we prayed them away. And so, but awesome choices there. And now we have 11 grandkids. And you know, God loves to bless. And there's been a lot of heartache. I'll talk to you a little bit in this message, but even amidst all of that, I could die today and my whole life has been a blessing, has been totally fulfilled. So God has a good life. And I don't know where you're at right now. I have a feeling a lot of us are in the midst of anxieties and difficulties and issues and challenges and struggles that we go through. And this message is going to be a tremendous help, I believe. Okay? It's called Worry Free. How many of you are absolutely worry free? None at all. See, and we don't have any liars in here either. So that's good. Let's read Philippians 4. This is really a great passage. I'm just going to make a slight adjustment here. Just a minute. Okay, so Philippians 4, 1 through 9. Therefore, now, can I say that Paul, as he writes this, it's 61 AD. He's imprisoned in Rome. He's probably in that dank, dark dungeon that's there near St. Peter's Basilica, actually. It's not far, right there in Rome. It's still there today. Later, Paul and Peter would be there and taken to their martyrdom. But this is 61 AD. He's released in about 62 AD and goes out and does some more traveling and evangelizing and planting churches and visiting the ones he's already planted. But then he's rearrested. But this is in 61. He's writing to one of his favorite churches here, maybe his most favorite people, because he planted this church and it was the first church plant in Europe. This is the first church in the Western world. And the planting of this church has affected us today here in the Western world. And he's writing to them, and even though he's in jail, he has an uncertain future, although he wants to get out and travel more. And he says, I'm longing to come and see you. We'll read that. And that might have happened, probably did. But he writes to encourage them. So he's towards the end of the letter, chapter 4. It's a short book. And he's writing how they can have a life filled with peace, joy, fruitfulness, just mental health. You know, we talk a lot about mental health. God's the one who gives you mental health. And living the way he prescribes helps greatly. So anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there before we read 1-9. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I'm reading out of the New King James. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all people. The Lord is at hand. Now listen to this. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, which means pouring out your heart with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, are just, are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate, set your mind on these things, the things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me. These do, and the God of peace will be with you. Lord, we're so thankful for these incredible words of encouragement and promise and these commands that are a means to a very rich and fruitful life. Lord, we're so glad that we are your beloved. And I ask that you'll speak to each one of us this morning through your word and your spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have one of the greatest promises in the Bible here in verse 7. He says, the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. That is an amazing promise. A peace, an unbelievable peace, will guard over your heart. Now, he also gives two commands. And these commands are very key in experiencing the promise. So he says, first of all, worry about nothing. And I almost imagine a parenthesis there. Yeah, right. But he says it, and he means it, and it's a command. Worry about nothing. But in everything, command number two, pray in everything with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. Now, these are commands, and they're hard to keep. In fact, they're so hard, a lot of people don't think they're possible. And that the Lord's commanding us to do the impossible. Well, he does. But he's right there to help you. Some people think the Lord's speaking in hyperbole. Like, pray in everything. You know, like he told the Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Well, how am I going to do that? Pray without ceasing. I have to sleep sometimes, you know. I have to go to work. I have to say things to people. I can't always be praying. But you know what? He means it. And what he means is, keep yourself in communion with God at all times. Always be in this kind of mental focus of God's with me. And I'm with him. And you're in touch. You're always in touch. And sometimes you're actually just praying verbally or silently or however it is. But you're communing with God. He wants that. And that's super key. In fact, that's the key to making it all happen. The promise. And you can't do the first command if you don't do the second. Worry about nothing. That has to be the most disobeyed command in the Bible. Worry about nothing. How many worry with at least 24 things a day? Okay. A day. And a lot of us have known the Lord like 20 years. Right? We're not down to nothing yet. And yet the Lord wants us to get to that place. Now, think of how good the Lord is that he wants you to be worry-free. He doesn't want you carrying around these heavy burdens and these weights of anxiety and stress, tormenting your thoughts. You know, the word worry comes from anxiety. They're very, very similar. Translated worry, it comes from an old English word that meant and means to strangle. To strangle. It strangles the life. Remember how Jesus talked about the sower and how the sower went out planting seed. You know, we can all be sowers, but especially he's talking about Jesus himself. He's sowing the seed. He's sowing God's word in our hearts. Or God's word comes to us through someone else. It's seed. It's powerful. It's life-giving. But there are four kinds of soil. There's the good soil. There's the shallow soil. The rocky ground. There's the kind of soil that's trampled. It's not really soil. It's trampled along the wayside. And it's so hard you can't even get the seed into it. And then there's the thorny ground, right? Or the weeds. Jesus said the weeds or the thorns, they are like these plants that aren't flowers, that aren't fruitful. They're not trees that bear fruit and all that stuff. They choke, he said. He said they fill the ground and they choke out and prevent the good seed from bearing fruit. Right? So the weed-infested ground is talking about the cares of this world, the cares of life, also the pleasures of life, and worry about money and things he talked about. That's that third soil. And he said, it's got to be weeded. Those weeds have to be taken out. And so Jesus also said in Luke 18:1, he said, pray at all times. And don't faint. So if weeds come in and they choke out your good plants, or they prevent, they fill the place and it gets so ugly, the others die of shade or something. I don't know what. They're just choked. And let me ask you this question. How many of you purposely plant weeds in your garden? You purposely do, brother? Let's pray for that, brother. No. Okay, we don't purposely plant them. Guess what? They're in the air. The weed seeds are, they're flying around at all times. You know, they're a lot like sickness, too. It's kind of flying around. Isn't that weird? That's the planet we live on ever since the fall. That was part of the fall. You know, these thorns and thistles are going to plague the ground because man fell. So we live in a fallen world. We understand that. But these worries and temptations to fret and to fear and to be anxious, they're always coming at us. Jesus said, pray at all times and don't faint, because these things will choke out the fruitfulness from your life. You won't be able to bear fruit. That's what happens. You know, when I was about 13 years old, a friend of mine at school came up to me and he goes, hey, Wayne, I learned how to faint people. And I wondered if I could do it with you. I go, what? You know, that sounds weird. What do you mean, faint people? Well, you go through these steps and you just, you know, you faint people. And it's really, oh, man, it's really cool, he said. So I wanted to do it to you. And I go, okay, if it's cool, then let's do it. You know, so I'm not going to tell you how he did it, because I think some of you would try this. And I might get in trouble. But he went through these steps. And you know, you do certain things and that. And then, so he did it. And boom, I blacked out. So I'm blacked out for like 10 or 12 seconds. And I wake up and I'm all kind of spacey. So in that sense, it was cool. I was, you know, I was like that. And then I'm kind of, okay, yeah. And it kind of normalized after a while, you know, it's cool. So I go home, and there's my little brother. He's 8 years old. And I say, hey, Kelly. He's a pastor, too. And now he could beat me up, so I don't even bother with this stuff. But I said, Kelly, I've learned how to faint people, and I was wondering if I could do it to you. It's really cool. And he goes, no, it doesn't sound cool. And I said, no. You really kind of, it's really, you get in this zone and it's, you're just spaced out. It's really awesome. Here, let me show you how it works. And so I did it and he fainted and I laid him down on the ground nicely because I'm a good brother. And he was out for like 15 seconds. And then he wakes up and he gets up and he goes, whoa. And I was praying he would wake up, you know. And so he goes, Wayne, you shouldn't have done that. And then he runs home and he says, and I'm following him saying, don't tell Mom. And he goes in and he says, hey, Mom, Wayne fainted me. First thing, he just jumps in the house. Hey, Mom, Wayne fainted me. And she looks at me and goes, you did what? So I had to explain it to her. I told her what I did. And how we fainted. I told him my friend did it to me and I thought it was cool. So I did it to Kelly and he goes, you idiot. So my mom says, you idiot. Don't you realize that when you're doing that, you're cutting off oxygen to the person's brain. And their brain cells are dying and that's why you faint. And they don't reproduce and you two cannot afford to lose even one. You crazy kid. This is what happens spiritually. When we allow anxieties to take up residence in our heart and mind, when we let worries just continue to plague us and stress us, when we let fears and all these things come in, it chokes out our faith and our hope. And the promises of God's word, we can't claim them or we can't trust them, we think. But we can. Because God is true and let every man be a liar. God's promises, his promise to give you a peace that's not from understanding, but beyond understanding. a peace that you're going, I shouldn't even be peaceful right now. But I am, because the Prince of Peace is guarding over my heart. And so this worry and anxiety, and I think we live in an age of anxiety right now. You know, there's a lot of fears being thrown out there politically on all sides. I think it's nuts because it works politically, but it doesn't bless the people. It's used as a tool to get votes. Now, I'm not saying who's right, who's wrong. You know, I like to reach out in love to all sides to try to bring the gospel to people. I have my own beliefs, and I do it as a hobby, and I love it. If you want to know how I vote, talk to me afterwards. But here, no. Here, I just want to say God loves people, and he wants to do neat things in our lives. You know, Jesus said, through worry, you cannot add one bit of growth to your life. Not one bit of growth. In fact, worry is going to stunt your growth. You know, Corrie ten Boom said something really powerful. She said, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows. It empties today of its strength. Now, she pointed out a really key thing there. A lot of worry and anxiety has to do with fearing the future. We might have a small worry today. A terrorist got killed. And now we're arguing about whether he should have been. Okay, this is going to cause World War III! And people are freaking out. But it didn't so far. But we're fearing that. That's just an example, right? So we've got these things and we extrapolate them into the future. And oh no! You know, they did a survey. They did a survey not too long ago where they asked people about their worries, their anxieties, their fears. And they took this survey and they kind of gathered all the information and they found out, this was a key discovery, they said 92% of all fears never happen. Out of all these fears, 92% never happen. Now some people say, well, they don't happen because I worry about them and they go away. No, they don't go away. What happens is the worry and fear takes a toll itself. That's what he's saying. It's not so much the thing, although we'll talk about disturbing things that can happen and cause this. But a lot of times what we're fearing won't even happen. In fact, I like Winston Churchill. He said, when I look back on all my worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened. This is where it's taken a toll. It's taken a toll mentally, spiritually, on our faith. And the devil loves it because he loves to choke and bring discouragement. When I talk about fainting, I mean fainting into discouragement and even full-on depression. And the Lord wants to help us. He's the lifter of our heads and a shield about us. Now, there's three areas that we see in this passage where worries can become prominent. First, in our relationship with God. Secondly, in our relationships with people. And then thirdly, disturbing circumstances that come into our life and sort of, you know, cause us to fret and to worry. So first of all, let's look at this area of our relationship with God. Now, in the first four verses, three times it uses a phrase, in the Lord. In the Lord. Look at verse 1. He says, therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, brothers and sisters, my joy and crown, stand fast in the Lord. Beloved. And in verse 2, he tells these two gals who are arguing, be of the same mind in the Lord. And then in verse 4, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Always, again, I will say rejoice. Now, where is in the Lord? Well, it's under the care of Jesus. You know, you're in his domain of provision and of being cared for. You're a child of God. You're in Jesus. The Bible says in, I think it's either 1 or 2 Corinthians 1:29, that by God's doing, we are placed in Christ Jesus, who has been made to us wisdom, righteousness, holiness, sanctification. All the good stuff is in the Lord. You're in the Jesus bubble. You're in the Jesus domain. You're in his kingdom. You're under his care. You're in the ark of Jesus. He's the ark of the New Testament. Now let's think about the ark of the Old Testament with Noah, right? Okay, God said there's going to be a flood. I'm going to judge. Because people have gone crazy with violence and evil. And every thought in their mind is only evil continually. Man, we're getting there again. It's sad. It's painful. But we as believers, he gives us a different mind. A different way of thinking. Okay, so they're in the ark. Now, Noah preached for what? Like 120 years or something? And he could only get his family in. But he got a lot of animals in because they're smarter than people sometimes. Right? And so all these animals were brought in. The Lord, you know, kind of brought them in. And Noah's, okay, come on in. You know, dogs, giraffes, hyenas, let's go. And so he gets them in there. Now, when the rain starts falling and the underground water streams and all of that gets broken up and it floods and gushes the earth outside the ark. That's scary. That's scary. I'd say in this world it is scary sometimes. It's going to get scarier as the Lord's coming draws near. But we're in the ark. How about those animals in the ark, huh? You know, how about those cats and those dogs? You know, they got their own spot. It's so great. They're probably sitting on a rug, a mat or something like that, right? There's some version of Purina dog chow there. It's just awesome. They're taking care. Noah's over there. He's going around. The other, his sons and such, they're going around. Oh, buddy, it's going to be all right. We're going to make it through. I mean, other dogs outside the ark are barking and howling. And that is scary. I wish they would have gotten in the ark. Especially those people who are being judged. I wish they would get in the ark. You know what's really beautiful? You can be in the ark right now. And while God's law of reaping what you sow is being enacted, if you sow to the flesh, you'll have the flesh reap corruption. I mean, that's happening. People are, they're broken. They're crying out. They're saying, man, we need help. And whatever the world's giving isn't helping them that much. But when you're in the ark, you're really helped. Now, we can be in the ark. He hasn't shut the door. The door's still open. He is the door. Our ark is the door. Jesus. So we're in the ark. He's comforting us. He's ministering to us. He's taking care of us. He's blessing us. And if we give him our cares and our worries and that, wow, what a difference. Now, the Bible says if you believe in Jesus Christ, you receive the gift of eternal life. But the one who does not believe in Jesus Christ does not have eternal life. But the wrath of God remains on him. John 3:36. So in a person's relationship with God, if you're refusing Jesus Christ, if you're rejecting Jesus Christ, you don't want to receive him. You haven't received him yet. You should worry. This is one thing you should really worry about. You're in a scary place. And it says in verse 5, the Lord is near. As certain signs happen, his coming draws near. But for either of us, it could come at any time, whenever we die. We don't know when that'll be. We need to be ready by being in Jesus. Then we can rejoice in the Lord. Believe me, all the problems that there might be between you and God are solved when you have Jesus. Because God so loved you, so loved the world, that he gave you and I his only begotten Son. Unto us a child was born, and a son was given to die for our sins so that we don't have to be judged. All our sins are forgiven. You know, our judgment day, if we believe in Jesus, as far as punishments against sin and eternal damnation and all that, Jesus already took it. Our judgment day is past. But those who refuse him, it's going to be horrible. So that's my call. If you're not in Jesus Christ, today's the day, okay? Today, surrender your heart and your life over to him. Okay, so our relationship with God gets solved pretty easy. You know, God's not hard to please. There's just two things he wants. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So he's saying, believe in my son. Trust in Jesus. Put your faith in me and you'll be fine. Easy to please. And then he says, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So trust Jesus and learn to follow his spirit. Let his spirit have control. Right? The fruit of the spirit will be coming out of your life. Having and following the Holy Spirit is one of the greatest things. When you trust Jesus, he gives you the Holy Spirit. And so now he wants to lead you and he wants to take these things. He wants to fill you every day with different fruit than there was and is when we walk in the flesh. This is very important. Now, what about our relationships with people? Well, we see here that there was a bit of a problem between two of the gals in verse 2. Paul says, I implore, and that's a strong word, Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. Okay, they were arguing. They were having some sort of disagreement. They were disrupting the unity. And if you look over in chapter 2, Paul talks to the whole church about stuff. Look at what he says. He says to them, you know, if there's any comfort in love, any fellowship of the Spirit, fulfill my joy, verse 2, by being like-minded, have the same love, be of one accord, of one mind. Don't do things through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others. Let each of you not look out for only your own interests, but the interests of others. So evidently this disagreement might have been spreading to other people. Paul doesn't, you know, encourage people this way if there's no reason. So there's some sort of threat to the unity and the blessing of God, because it's as the people of God are of one accord and they're unified in prayer, the Holy Spirit is outpoured. Right? Amen? Pentecost. Psalm 133. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers and sisters to dwell in unity. This is where the Lord commands the blessing. And I sense that here. I love it. So great. But it was being threatened here. Now, we don't know what they were fighting about. Euodia, Syntyche. Is there anyone here named Euodia or Syntyche? Okay, anyone? Okay. Well, then I'll talk about the names a little bit. Euodia means good travels, which that's kind of cool. Maybe as a little person, her parents named her. And after a few weeks, they're like, let's call her Euodia. She travels well. You know, no screaming. This is good. Euodia. Now, Syntyche means an accident. That's not good travels. So she might be a little negative. I don't know. Maybe one's like a sort of pessimistic, the others, we don't know. But they're different and they're fighting because of the differences. And it's spreading. That can be hard in a family or in a church. Now, the Lord, or Paul, addresses, he says, my faithful companion, or how does he say that? True companion. Help these women. So, you know how Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers? For they shall be called the sons and daughters of God? So you can either be a peacemaker in the good sense, or you can be a troublemaker and be stirring up trouble. Now, there's room for differences, you know. In the essentials of the faith, we want to be united. In the non-essentials, you know, there's room for diversity and different views. That's okay. But maybe the essentials were being threatened. I don't know. He's saying, they're saying, or excuse me, Paul is saying in Philippians 2, in that same area of Philippians, have this mind in you which was in Christ Jesus. What is the mind of Jesus Christ? Well, although he existed in the form of God, he did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped or to be held on to. But he emptied himself, not of his deity, but of his divine privilege. He emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant. You know, leaving the throne above, becoming a bondservant to a fallen planet. He emptied himself, becoming a bondservant, and being found in appearance as a man. And coming as a man, he became obedient to the point of death, even the criminal's death, the cross. Therefore, God highly exalted him. So if you've got a big ego and you want to be exalted, learn to be the servant of all, Jesus said. But if you go around, you know, being prideful and wanting to, you know, disrupt so you can get all the attention, that's out. Have this mind in you, which was in Christ Jesus. He let God raise him up. And he was the Savior of the world. He came and served the entire world and brought us salvation. So, a lot of people think this true companion was the Philippian jailer. Back in the early centuries, this was the Philippian jailer. People wrote, awesome. Here was a guy. He not only helped Paul and Silas in the early days, but now he's helping other people. We can all do that if we'll put the Lord's first, the Lord first, and his glory, not our own. This is really important. You know, when I was in ninth grade, I sang in the ninth grade boys' glee club, which I have a terrible voice now, but back then it was amazing. So I was in boys' glee club, and I was a disruptor. I was a bad boy. I liked to self-entertain and entertain my friends. So we had as our glee club leader, Mr. Smith, and he was super high strung, and off-key singing drove him nuts. So a lot of times, I was in the tenor section, so I would kind of hide behind one of the guys and I would sing off-key. He'd go, oh, that's terrible. Who's singing off-key? And no one would say anything, including myself. But he would just go off, and it was just hilarious. But then one day, he caught me in the act of singing off-key on purpose. He says, Wayne, you're singing off-key, aren't you? Now, my mom taught me not to lie, so I go, yeah. And he said, and you know better. In fact, it's been you doing this the entire time, hasn't it? I go, yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Smith. He says, get out of my room. Go to the principal's office. Every period for a week, I sat in the principal's office. He wouldn't let me back in. I ruined the class for my own entertainment, to be cool with my friends. Now I teach in high school the Bible. I don't like people like that. They really bother me. I'm getting my own medicine paid back to me. Pray for me in that ministry. Finally, he let me back in, and I was a changed person. Now, the beauty of God's family is he doesn't kick people out. He doesn't do that. But he will chastise you. He'll correct you. He'll say, come on, put me first. Don't get bitter. Don't turn your anger loose on everybody. Learn to forgive. You know, even bear people's hurts and help them. Help them. And as we all learn to do that, the Lord will do crazy, amazing things. But the biggest thing is he'll bring you a sense of peace and love and joy with your life. And you won't have 1,000 regrets. Okay, finally, these disturbing circumstances. He says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. Now, between nothing and everything, that's a lot of things that can come at you. Even if it's not everything, it's a lot. And what are some things that are disturbing that come into our lives? Would you guys tell me some of them? What are some things, disturbing things that come into our lives that really bother us? What are they? Disease can come in. Death, a loss of a loved one. It's a big deal. What else? What type of problems bother you? I knew you were going to say that. Money, how many money issues? They cause worry. They cause stress. They cause, how many, raise your hand, be honest. Does anyone have that? Okay, all the rich people are fine, but no, actually it's common to all levels of society. Okay, what other things? Say again. Yes. People that you're so concerned about, and especially spiritually. Yeah. Okay. Okay, all of these are real things. How about sick children? Oh, man, that's painful. Right? There's just a lot of things. Problems at work. Maybe you're a boss. Workers. Maybe you're a worker. Bosses. You know, I mean, it's these things come. What do you do? Be anxious for nothing. Now notice these two words, nothing and everything. It's a contrast. Look for contrast in the Bible when you're learning the Bible. Anxiety, be anxious for nothing. And that word nothing is mei dice, means not one thing. So not one thing are you to worry about, but in everything. Now notice that's the most inclusive word. Nothing is the most exclusive word. Not one thing. If you're worrying about one thing, you're not worrying about nothing. Isn't that profound? But in everything, pray and give thanks. Giving thanks is so important because you're expressing faith in your prayer. See why that's so important? Don't just pray, oh, Lord, give me this, give me that. You got your list. And by the way, thank you. No, thank him. Lord, I know you'll take care of me. You'll take care of this. Even though you don't know that, say you do. You say that's lying. No, it's faith. You're believing him. Lord, I know you'll take care of me because you're faithful. Okay? So those two things. Now, when he says pray in everything, this is the key. Okay, this is the key. Pray in everything. Even little things, and especially mindless things, where you're doing things that you don't have to think. Those are dangerous. And the little things can be dangerous because the little foxes, it says in Song of Solomon, are the ones that spoil the vine. Yeah. The little foxes, because they sneak around and then they bite you. after you. Isn't that a good fox? Right? Let me give you an example. Like in my life, doing dishes and mowing the lawn, those are some of my chores. And I don't even have to think about it while I'm doing them. Because I'm really good at it after all these years. And so I can think about other things while I'm doing the dishes and while I'm mowing the lawn. So what I have chosen to think about is people that annoy me. See, when our mind doesn't need to think, you tend to gravitate towards stuff that really bothers you. And people that annoy you, I want to criticize them. Right? My natural self wants to rip on them. And I'm a pastor. So I remember one time I was in the midst of mowing the lawn and I started ripping on people mentally. I was like, you know, and Kathy's probably up there watching me mow the lawn and said, "What's wrong with you?" But I'm ripping on someone because they bother me. And God interrupts. This one time he interrupts and he goes, "I did not bring that person to your mind so that you could criticize them, Pastor. I brought them to your mind so that you would pray for them. Start praying for them." You know what I found? As I prayed for them, I began to have understanding about them. And the Lord showed me what to pray for in some cases. And I realized, wow, they're going through a lot. I know. And then I started loving them. And then some of them started coming to me and saying, "You know, someone must be praying for me because God is really working in my life." And they would tell me what he was doing. I was like, wow. I didn't even tell him I was praying for him. I was ashamed to say, "It's because you annoy me that I was praying for him." So I just let it, yeah, praise God. That's awesome. You know? That's why we need to pray in everything. So this whole thing of praying at all times, it's real. Will you say with me, "I will try to pray in everything"? Using the word try. It's a caveat. But can we say that? I will try to pray in everything and give thanks. Let's try that again. I will try to pray in everything and give thanks. Lord, please help us do that. Now that's kind of getting the negative out, getting the positive in. I'll just close with this really quick. Verse 8 says, "The things that are true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, and praiseworthy, meditate on those things." Now you might say, what are those things? I want to give you what those are. Really simple. The personality traits of Jesus. He wants you to meditate on God. Meditate on Jesus. All of those are his traits. He's the one most praiseworthy of anyone. In fact, no one should be praised like Jesus. And all those qualities, that's his personality. Isaiah 26:3 to close. "You, Lord, will keep him and her in perfect peace, whose mind is set on thee, because he and she trusts in thee." And since he's caring for you, you don't need to care that much. You can give it to him. And by the way, the worst maybe thing that could happen would be a death, someone brought up. A loss. Someone really close. But do we all understand that this planet is Death Valley and none of us is getting out alive unless the rapture happens? Pray for it. Before we die. But either way, we have to be changed. So we're going to go through that portal. And he's going to be with you. Even when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death. He's with you. And he's comforting you. Believe me. And all the present things that we're going through, they're like quizzes to get us ready for the final exam. To trust him. And when you learn to trust him, you're going to have so much assurance. When you learn to receive his love and let it pour in every day, all your fears will be dispelled. It says in 1 John 4:18, His perfect love will cast that out. And the Lord wants to do that for you. Let's pray. Thank you so much, Jesus. Thank you for these verses. Thank you for your love. I thank you for these dear people. And Lord, we need that filling with the Spirit of Christ so that the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the peace, the joy can dominate and captivate our thoughts instead of the worries and the anxieties and the fears dominating and the anger and the bitterness. If you're here and you'd say, Pastor, I need prayer for this. I really want to be filled with those wonderful traits of Christ and the fruit of the Spirit. But these other things come in and choke, and I really need prayer. Will you pray for me that I'll let His presence push out these other things? His powerful peace guarding over our hearts and minds. Will you pray for me for that? Because I have a need in, and you know what area it is in. Would you just stand if you have that need? Just stand. All of us that have that need and you want to refill a new, fresh overflowing of His presence, His peace. Like it says in verse 9, the God of peace, His presence will be with you and overflow you. Also, if you're here and you want to say, today, I am putting my trust in Jesus Christ and receiving His gift of eternal life, I want to confess and make a stand and say, I'm trusting and following Jesus now. You also please stand and you'll be ready for whatever comes. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, we just lift up to you as the worship team comes. Jesus, we lift up to you, Lord, these things that we've talked about. And I pray that you will encourage each one. And Lord, we come to you. We pray. Take captive every thought to your obedience. That we would obey these commands, we would give you every worry, every care. The moment they come into our brain or our emotions, we'll give them to you and say, Lord, you're going to take care of it. Here it is. Thank you, God. And Lord, I pray that you'll fill my friends here. Fill them to overflowing with your presence and your Holy Spirit. Fill us right now, Jesus. Fill us, God, because when we're full of you, these other things, there will be no room for that. May your love flood our souls through the Holy Spirit who's given to us. We pray today in Jesus' name.